In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were filled with great fear, and the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. When they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told to them. This is the gospel of the Lord. Well, I now have a newfound appreciation for our preschool teachers. But in all seriousness, it is a blessing to have them up there. Thanks for sharing your children this evening. So this evening, I'd like to think a little more about the concept of good news. That's how the angels pitch their message to the shepherds. I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all people. So I did a little bit of informal research for this sermon. I asked my friends, I asked the cashier at the grocery store, anyone I could meet the past few weeks, what is the best news you've ever heard? So I got a few responses. A friend who was just about to get married said the best news he had ever heard was that she said yes. The woman he proposed to, now his wife, said yes when he proposed marriage. Another friend said that the best news he had ever heard was that he was going to graduate from college. He's the first in his family to do it, and so he said that was the best news he'd ever heard. Another friend said the best news he'd ever heard was that the Cleveland Cavaliers had won the NBA championship. Those are kind of the outliers. The majority of news that I got was either something about Jesus, which we'll get to in a little bit, or something about pregnancy. The best news I've ever heard is that my wife or my sister or myself, if it was a woman, was pregnant. That was the best news they had ever heard. And it is amazing, amazing news. So as we go through this sermon, I'd like you to keep that question in your head. What is the best news that you have ever heard? We all know we're getting to Jesus with this discussion of good news, but for now, let's think of something else just so we can play with that concept of good news for a little bit. We're going to turn from our own experience of good news to the good news given to the shepherds tending their flocks during the night. Shepherds in the time of Christ had a unique job. Nowadays, it seems like sheep are normally fenced in or in a barn, but they would watch the sheep out on the hillside, out in an open field. So instead of being able to go to sleep, they had to stay up all night watching the sheep, making sure no sheep were going to run away, no predators or robbers were going to come and get the sheep from them. The night shift wasn't as much of a thing because we didn't have artificial light, so they may have been some of the only people awake during this time in Bethlehem. Shepherding at night isn't a terribly strenuous job, but it requires focus, and it's dark. The shepherds were standing in the dark. And all of the sudden, that darkness is broken by the light of an angel of the Lord. He appears to them, the glory of the Lord shines around them, and they become very fearful. These shepherds, like most biblical figures, are afraid when they see an angel. The shepherds probably thought they were going to die. This heavenly being shows up and they don't know what to do. They are full of great fear. But the angel tells them not to be afraid, to stop being afraid. The angel is not there to end their lives. He's not there with a message of judgment. He is there with good news. He describes the good news in several ways. First, it is good news of great joy. Second, it is for all the people. And third, the content of that good news. A Savior is born in Bethlehem, Christ the Lord. It's a message of joy. Although their first reaction was fear, the angel redirects that fear to joy. The message is good news. It's not something to be afraid of or something to avoid. It's something to rejoice over. He says this good news is for all the people. The message that the angel brings does not just have meaning for the shepherds, but for all of Israel. What's happening in Bethlehem is important to the shepherds, but it's also going to change everything for the people of Israel and for the people of the entire world. And they are told a Savior is born in Bethlehem, Christ the Lord. This isn't going to be a normal baby. It's not going to be a normal man. This is the Savior. What happened in Bethlehem that evening was not normal. The Savior of the entire world, the chosen one of God, the one who would save his people from their sins, was born. And finally, he gives them a sign. They'll find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, which is normally what you do with a baby. But this baby, strangely enough, is sitting in a feeding trough. The angel tells them this message, and then he is joined by the heavenly army to sing the birthday song of Jesus. Glory to God in the highest, like we just talked about in the children's message. After this heavenly chorus sings, the angels go away. Shepherds go to Bethlehem. They find this baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. After they see, they leave, they go out, they tell everyone what the angels had said. It's a pretty clean, simple story. You have your shepherds and your sheep in the field, you have your angels, you have their message, then they go to Bethlehem, and then they go to spread the good news. Now, the angels said the good news would be for all the people. Now he's speaking here immediately of God's chosen people, Israel, the children of Abraham. But sometimes good news is greater than you expect. After a positive pregnancy test, a woman goes to the doctor's office to confirm that she is indeed pregnant. And sometimes a woman will go and there will be not one, but maybe two or three or four blessings from God. The good news is greater than they ever expected. Or sometimes someone will be searching for a job, probably pretty unhappy that they're out of work. They'll get the good news that they find a job, and then the greater news that this job is even better than the one that they had before. The first proclamation of good news is to the shepherds. But we find out it's greater than just for them. It is for all of Israel. And as you read on in the Gospel of Luke, you find that it's even greater than that. It's not only for the shepherds, not only for Israel, but for the entire world. Good news is for the shepherds. It's for the people of Israel and comes through David's line. But it does not stop there. The good news is for everyone. It includes you and me as well. This may have been a surprise to the shepherds. It may have shocked the Jews of Jesus' day, but salvation was coming to everyone through Jesus, from the greatest to the least. Now, we went over the shepherds' situation when they heard that good news. But because the good news is for everyone, for you and for me, let's talk about how we receive this good news. For us and for all people, the message of good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, comes in the midst of some very bad news. We said in our confession that we are sinful and unclean. We have offended Almighty God, and that fact might be easy to ignore on a daily basis, but when you look at the world and you see the effects of sin, it's not hard to see. Looking around the world, we see the fingerprints of sin all over the place. All of us have felt the pain of losing someone that we love. We look around, we see the anger and distrust that people have for one another. We see fractured relationships, marriages torn apart, parents and children at odds with one another, friends and neighbors so angry at each other that they might not even speak. Maybe you've experienced this for yourself. And far darker than a night in Bethlehem, our world is full of bad news. The worst news of all of it is that we have brought it upon ourselves by our sin and rebellion, and that we deserve hell for what we have done. But through that darkness, in spite of that bad news, to correct it, in fact, the good news comes to you. The same good news given to the shepherds. A Savior is born in Bethlehem, who is Christ the Lord. The little baby's life had just begun and his work had just begun. He would grow into the man Jesus, the same man who would die on the cross to deal with all of this bad news, the bad news we had brought upon ourselves, and then he would rise on the third day, turning bad news into good news. Strangely enough, this little baby lying in a feeding trough is the greatest news we will ever hear. That baby is the one who has come to save you from your sins. He is the one who has come to make peace with God for you and for the entire world. Now, I asked you to name the greatest news you've ever heard, at least in your head. And one of the things I noticed when I kind of asked people this question is no one says anything general. No one says the best news I've ever heard is that jobs numbers are up. No one says the best news I've ever heard is that people all over the world are having babies. Because jobs numbers being up doesn't mean anything if you don't have a job. People having babies all over the world is great, but when someone close to you has a baby, it becomes good news for you. The greatest news is the news that affects us personally. It's nice that sports teams win championships, but it's only good news for me if it's my team that wins. It's nice that Jesus was born. It's fine and good that he died, and it's pretty nifty that he rose again. But the reason those things are good news, the reason they're great news, the reason they're the best news we will ever hear, is because Jesus was born for you. Jesus died for you, and Jesus rose for you. And he loves you more than you can imagine. May this good news of the birth, the life, the death, and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you this Christmas season and always. Amen.